This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. As you just heard, Wall Street closed 6 minutes ago, and the Dow closed at a daily high, up 1,351 points. So the Dow is at 22,552. So the markets are liking what America is talking about, and that's the financial bailout. I think we all need to stay vigilant and make sure that the bailout helps the people who are out of work because of COVID-19. I don't think that we should be giving bailouts to companies that are financially unviable even before anybody had heard of coronavirus, like Amtrak. But I think that right now, taking care of our fellow Americans who are out of work in this unprecedented time is something that we all support, or most of us do, at least. And so Wall Street's bouncing back, the way the administration is handling this. But there's going to be a huge challenge ahead. As the president says, he wants to move along before Easter. And some health professionals are saying, well, we could just see this thing take off like wildfire if we get out of all the positive things we're doing with social distancing too soon. And so there's going to be a real tightrope walk in the next few weeks. But right now, I think most of us should be encouraged with how the nation is handling it. Our state, we carried Jay Inslee's press conference in the 11 o'clock hour here on Cairo Radio, and he didn't say a lot that was new, but what Jay Inslee said is he thinks he might have to extend the stay-at-home mandate for a couple more weeks, because right now it was initially a 2-week mandate. And Jay Inslee says he might have to extend that. Again, you show us that that's working and that it's doing good things for our region to let us recover or at least tamp down COVID-19. I am all for it. And so we've got, you know, a lot of competing agendas politically. The media has competing agendas because the media has one job and one job only, and that is to bring down the president, no matter how good a job the administration's doing. And I was talking to Dr. Drew about that last hour, and I'm getting an awful lot of text messages from you about this, because yesterday, the Seattle NPR radio station, KUOW, which absolutely could not survive without the gigantic taxpayer subsidy they receive. And they have just become this far-left apparatchik of, you know, the socialist, communist, Marxist, Seattle politician agenda. And so KUOW yesterday said, well, we're not going to check the, we're not going to carry the Donald Trump press conferences anymore because we can't fact-check them in real time. And I said, okay, are you fact-checking Jay Inslee in real time? And of course the answer is no. Jay Inslee, and this is what people don't understand. And for somebody like me, who is politically pretty agnostic, you know, I said Jay Inslee was doing a good job a couple of weeks ago. Why? Because I usually disagree with Jay Inslee now? Because I thought he was doing a pretty good job. I don't think he's been doing a great job the last few days. He was too quick on the stay-at-home, or too slow, I mean, on the stay-at-home thing. Things like making fishermen, telling them they can't go out and fish on Puget Sound is insane. And I'm getting lots of text messages from you, from the 253. NPR is not politicizing. Trump is lying, and you are misinformed. Okay, you're free to believe that. But if you think that Trump lies more than Jay Inslee, I'd have a real interesting argument with you on who's truly misinformed. I sent a tweet to KUOW last night. Jay Inslee said he would never raise our taxes. He has signed off on $7 billion in tax hikes since he said that. Jay Inslee said he was going to hold all of our car tab money in escrow to be refunded for us. That appears to be a gigantic lie. But when you are a leftist apparatchik like KUOW, you have no interest in fact-checking Jay Inslee. You are just a tool. And this is where it gets super scary. And this is where Cairo Radio is pretty unique, because we have a broad view of ideological spectrum perspectives. I have a lot of colleagues who disagree with me and vice versa. And yet, we carried the entire Jay Inslee press conference. We have carried the entire Donald Trump. That wasn't what you think it was. The entire Donald Trump coronavirus press conferences every day. Why? Because it's news. And we're not going to decide which news you should hear. When you are a far-left tool of the local government, like KUOW, they've decided that you can hear Jay Inslee, you cannot hear the president. And they will be the gatekeeper, because you're too stupid to decide what is truth and fact. We, here at Cairo, we say, and I just was talking to our bosses yesterday about this, about carrying the Trump and Inslee press conferences, because there's financial price. You know, we blow out a lot of commercial spot breaks and all of that. And our highest order right now is news and getting you information. And it might be Jay Inslee, who some of the hosts disagree with. It might be Donald Trump, who some of the hosts disagree with. But we're not going to be your censor. We're not going to be your gatekeeper. We're not going to be KUOW, a bunch of stooges for the far left. And this is more proof that we should defund public radio today. There is no reason, when they only serve the 30% of the furthest left in America, there's no reason why 100% of taxpayers should have to pay to prop them up. They are not financially viable in an open free market. But when they're given millions and millions and millions of tax dollars, well, then they can say, oh, we're commercial free and we censor people that you don't like. Bunch of stooges. That's what they are. And you know, another text from the 253. KUOW, disgraceful. They want to use our tax dollars, but they refuse to provide us with unbiased news. Same with PBS. And you're absolutely correct about that. When you go to those taxpayer-funded sources for news, you are going to get a radical viewpoint. And people can argue that, well, you're way out there, Monson. Yeah, maybe I am. I would counter that there are some hosts of my station who are even further out there at the other end of the spectrum. But we bring you all the viewpoints here, and we bring you all the news, and we let you be your own censor. So, yeah, I'm disgusted. I think KUOW is a absolutely disgusting operation. Okay, let's get into the Fastest 15 here. Do you know where we would be right this moment in a normal year, right about this time, because the game was scheduled for 1:10, but on opening day, it always runs about 5 minutes late, 5 to 7 minutes late. And so right now, today, the Mariners' first game of the year would be in action. And so, and if you've ever seen my live show that I do, you know that Dave Niehaus was an unbelievable mentor and eventually one of my dearest friends and just somebody that I continue to this day to miss dearly. Today would have been the opening day of baseball season. And so, in these divisive times, can we take a few seconds and reflect on the things that bring us all together? And if Dave Niehaus doesn't bring us together, well, then there's something wrong with you.
Someone once said, you don't grip a baseball. A baseball grips you. It fills our days and brightens our nights. Over the course of a season and the span of a lifetime. We share hope, drama, and joy. It brings us all closer together, 9 innings at a time. It's the game we live. It's the game we love. Welcome back, baseball. Welcome back.
I don't know if there's a voice that makes me cry like Dave Niehaus's. And as you've seen, Nicole, when I do my live show, I tell the story. I was 17 years old. I was the nobodiest of nobodies. And I called Dave Niehaus. I called the Mariners office and I left a message for him. And he invited me to come talk with him. And then he became one of my dearest friends. And oh, gosh, I miss him. Every time I hear that voice right there.
I'm kind of excited we'll get to play it twice this year because it will come back and we will have baseball and we will have sports again eventually.
I know.
And we'll get to play that twice. I agree. That made me, you know, get all like teary-eyed and chilly. So cute.
I am teary-eyed. Right now. He's the man. And I've said this before. I say this in my live show. I'll say it now. Whenever they do the Mount Rushmore of Seattle Northwest broadcasters, we could have an argument about who numbers 2, 3, and 4 should be. But there's no argument about number one. And it's Dave Niehaus, the greatest broadcaster that this region has ever had. I mean, there's no question about that. And then I guess the real argument is who numbers 2 and 3 should be. Because Niehaus won. 2 and 3, we could have a huge debate. And then number 4. Well, modesty doesn't let me finish that line. Hey, I got a question for you, Nicole. All the businesses that are closed right now, with this conversation at my house last night, what is the one that you wish was open?
Of all the ones that are closed right now, and you didn't give me a heads up on this at all.
You cannot access. Yeah.
Gosh, most of them are still open that I go to regularly. I would say I miss the sports. Like, I love going to live music and live sports and things like that. Yeah. And those are the things that I miss the most. But so as far as the store, I don't really have anything.
No, you took it in a different perspective. And you haven't seen me. When was the last time you saw me? About 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
Nicole, I so desperately need a haircut right now.
Oh, that's fair.
I Oh, I need a, and there's no place to go.
Interesting. Well, but you're a dude. You could do it at home. You could have one of the girls do it.
No, are you kidding me?
You could.
No, they've never cut a man's hair. Wait, what does that mean even? You're a dude. You could have the girls do it. What, like it doesn't matter?
Well, my haircut costs a lot more than yours. Luckily, I had it done just before everything happened. But it definitely costs a lot more than yours.
Dory, I've been cutting my own hair for about 15 or so years, and I'm pretty good at it. I can even do the back of my head. So if you need some help, I can swing by. I'll take the Metro.
You know what? I may take you up on that, Sean. That'd be a viral video for us.
You're going to let him in your house after taking the bus?
No, we'll do it in the driveway. No.
I've got my own blades and everything, Dory.
Because, you know, I've told you, I was thinking about calling Tony Ventrella because Tony gave me every haircut for more than 20 years. I never paid for a haircut because Tony gave me every haircut between the ages of 21 and my early 40s. And I was thinking about calling Tony, but he's in the high-risk category, and I can't have him gallivanting around to cut my hair.
Well, Dory, if you'd like what it feels like to have another man's hands touch your head besides Tony Ventrella's, I'd be glad to be that person.
Oh, yeah, like you and Tony would be the only ones.
Oh.
Yeah, get in line, number 1,000. But I even was thinking last night, do you remember the Flowbee?
Oh, yeah, it sucks as it cuts. Flowbee?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Yeah, it fits on the end of a vacuum hose, and it sucks your hair out from your head and then cuts it at a uniform length. And I was thinking, I wonder if I should just go on eBay and see if I can find a Flowbee so I can cut my hair.
I think that would be great, Dory. That would be even better than cutting your hair.
Even if you had one of the girls or your wife do it and it wasn't great, who's going to see it?
Well, it wouldn't be great. I guarantee you that. We don't have an artistic cell in my family. Hold on. I'm going on eBay. Let me just type in Flowbee right now and see. The Flowbee Super Mini Vac. Oh, that's an accessory with the Flowbee. Oh, here we go. Flowbee Precision Haircutting System, $52. Would that be ridiculous?
Yes.
If I started cutting my hair with a Flowbee?
Yes, it would be ridiculous.
Because we were talking about this last night, my youngest daughter, she said that she is desperate for a pedicure. And my wife said, you could trim your own toenails. And my daughter's response was, what are we in the 18th century now? I did hear about there's one, I don't remember where this was. There was one pedicure salon and they are cutting they're doing the pedicure services through the mail slot on the front door.
Oh, goodness. So
the woman, the proprietor, she's inside and the customer sits on a chair outside the door and puts their feet through the mail slot and you can get your pedicure that way.
Hmm.
That seems really cool.
Seems different.
I don't know. Okay. Sean, let's talk about this. I think I'd like to have you cut my hair.
Okay.
What would you give me?
So what I do for myself is lately I've been doing just sort of a general low shortcut, just so it's all uniform, but I can also style where I can make your sides a little and back a little bit shorter than the top. You have a little bit of a style. It'll be pretty basic.
Here's all I know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
not extra.
When I sit and
look
I don't
up.
Even know what that means,
it
but
up.
Sounds creepy. It sounds really creepy. No, when I sit in the chair at the cut in Shoreline,
mm-hmm.
I tell them that I would like a number 2 on the sides and finger length on top.
Okay.
Could you make sense of that directive?
Definitely. A number 2 on the side, I know exactly what that is. I have guard 0 through 8, I think, 0 through 9, so I have a number 2 for sure. I'll always have a number two for you, Dory. And finger length on top, sure.
Wow, we had a lot of good stuff planned for this segment. We got to one.
Dory's laughing at my lovely joke.
We got to
we got to one.
No, we got to we got to two,
didn't we? Number
two. Knee house was
and
it.
We got to.
No, that's it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a whole long show still ahead of us. Okay. All right, let's figure that out, Sean. We'll do it before the end of the weekend.
That'd be great.
I'd like that. Okay. Nicole, will you come video record it?
Sure. I didn't know you were letting people in the house.
We're doing it in the driveway,
no.
I think, Nicole.
Wait, yeah, we're doing it in the driveway.
Well,
don't you listen?
Sean's going to be within 6 feet of you.
It's all right. I'm fine.
Are you?
I'll stand back.
I'm
really?
Fine.
Are
yeah.
you, Sean?
I'm fine.
And, okay.
It's
tell
a
you
break.
What.
We're late.
That's what I'm doing. We're going to mark one of the more significant Seattle anniversaries, one that has very personal recollection and moments for me. We'll take you down history lane coming up next, and then we'll get to all the stuff that I didn't get to in the Fastest 15 because we have so much time left here on the Dory Monson Show. Oh, can we take a little trip down history lane? Seattle and Pacific Northwest history. And this is very, very, very personal for me because I've told the story that I was about seven. I was an aimless drifter almost when I was a kid. I was kind of bright, and I'd graduated high school and started college when I was 15, but I had no goals. I wanted to manage a warehouse. That was my aspiration. Or be a professional gambler. I'd go to Tahoe and play in the U.S. Open backgammon. And I was working on counting cards so I could be a blackjack hustler. And I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I was on a bad path. And then when I was about 17, I thought, well, broadcasting, that might be kind of fun. And so I started on that path, and I started making connections and interning at an Everett radio station, which got me in the press box at Mariners and Seahawks and Sonics games, all of whom played in the Kingdom at the time. And I started making connections with people. And there was a guy, and I'm guessing maybe one out of 1,000 people listening will know this name. But at KVI Radio, they had this really colorful, older guy sportscaster named Steve Agbaba. And then he called himself the Great One, Steve Agbaba. And he did an evening sports talk show, and he did sports reports, and I greatly admired what he had carved out for himself. And then one day, Steve Agbaba pulled me aside at a Mariner game, and he was doing a nightly radio show called The Kingdom Report. And he pulled me aside and he said he was going to move back to Alaska, which is where he came from. And he wanted to keep the Kingdom Report alive. And he saw some promise in me and he asked me if I would want to take it over. And what it was a nightly 1 minute sports report of whatever happened at the Kingdom, Mariner game, Seahawk game, motocross, you know, whatever it was, home show. And but he had gotten about 30 radio stations in Washington, and there were a couple in Alaska and Oregon and Idaho. And he would record his Kingdom report 1 minute sportscast on a cassette that went in an old style telephone answering machine. And the radio stations that had signed up, and it was up to him, Agbaba, the great one, to sell a commercial within the Kingdom Report. And he said, hey, if you can sell a commercial, you can make whatever money you get off of that. I'm 18 years old, and I've never made more than $2.50 an hour. And he said, but if you want to take this over, he said, I'd like you to do that. Because he was just being very gracious to me because he thought he saw something in me. And that was a dream come true. So I'm going to do a sports report every night, record it. These radio stations are going to call this answering machine. Their overnight board op will record it, and then they'll play it on their morning newscast. I'm going to be on 30 stations at age 18. That was a big deal. But there was a billion time bigger deal associated with that. I talked to the people at the Kingdom, and there was this lovely, wonderful woman who ran the Kingdom named Carol Keaton. And I said, hey, I have this opportunity to do the Kingdom Report every night, but I don't really have an answering machine. I don't have a place for the radio stations to call. Would the Kingdom, since we're publicizing your building, would you give me a space to stash an answering machine that the radio stations would call? And she said yes. And again, it's just another example of how God blessed I was because of these people who kept saying yes to my insanity, my insane dreams and aspirations. And she walked on the press level, which is on the 200 level of the Kingdom. There was a hallway, and she walked me down this hallway, and she pulled out her key, and she opened the door to literally a broom closet. And she said, well, you can put the answering machine on the floor of this broom closet, but you have to come every night and load up your cassette tape. To which I said, well, that's like the greatest dream I've ever been offered. And so I'm 18 years old, 18, 19, and I every night would sit with my Radio Shack cassette recorder. I would record I wish I had some of these on tape still. I know I do somewhere on cassette. But I would sit and I would record a 1 minute report. But then the magic would begin. I would drive to the north parking lot at the Kingdom at midnight, 12:30 a.m. And there was one person in the entire building, and it was the security guard at the north gate. And he knew me, and he was a lovely man too. And I would walk in, and I'd be all by myself in the Kingdom. And you got to understand, Kingdom opened in 76, so I was 14 years old. This is only 4 or 5 years later. And I'd go past the security gate with my little cassette tape. And I'd go to the elevator, and I'd go up to the press level. And I'd walk in, and I swear to you, every single night, I'd walk through an empty press box in an empty building, and I'd look out, and I would see my dreams starting to come true. It was unbelievable. It was an unbelievable experience. And I'd walk through that press box, and I had my own kingdom key, and I'd open the broom closet, and I'd put my cassette tape in the answering machine, and I'd take out the old one to recycle. And on particularly magical nights, the overnight board op in, you know, Sitka, Alaska, or Wenatchee, or Medford, Oregon, would call, and I'd see the tape start spooling out, and I'd know they were recording it, and I'd know that my voice was going to go out. And I'm telling you, it was magic. And so, you're probably wondering, why are you bringing all this up today? Because 20 years ago today, the kingdom was imploded. And our dear friend, Felix Spinell, who is just, you know, this awesome Northwest historian and an archiver of moments like that, Felix sent Nicole and me the audio of the live coverage, Dave Ross and me, on a Sunday morning, covering the implosion of the kingdom 20 years ago today. It was a really emotional day for me, for all the reasons I just told you. And I want you to hear the live coverage on Cairo Radio 20 years ago today of the kingdom coming down. Let me take a really quick time out. And then we will play for you that little slice of Seattle radio and cityscape history that's coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Okay, I just told you why the kingdom was just unbelievably special to me. 20 years ago today, Seattle history, the kingdom was imploded. It was a Sunday morning. Dave Ross and I did the coverage on Cairo Radio. Safeco Field had already been built, so we were on a concourse at Safeco Field watching the kingdom come down. And I just wanted to share this with you. This is a little bit of the kingdom implosion 20 years ago today.
Yes, are you clear?
Yeah.
Stacy, are you clear?
Clear.
Mark, are you clear?
Clear.
This is your 1 minute siren, CDI. This is your 1 minute siren.
Okay, we are 60 seconds away from the Seattle skyline forever changing. Kingdom has been, for better or for worse, one of the most distinctive landmarks in the city, along with the Space Needle, for the last quarter century, and now about 40 seconds away from our skyline forever changing as the kingdom will come down.
Warm up the blasting machine and tell me when you're dead.
Soon to follow, a new football stadium begins play a little over 2 years from now.
We're 30 seconds away.
Fire in the red, Jim.
Helicopters overhead. The crowd standing by Elliott Bay, packed with boats, crowds under the Alaskan Way Viaduct, crowds on the 12th Avenue Bridge, crowds on the side of Beacon Hill, just below the Amazon.com headquarters.
And I'm with you, Dave. My heart is just pounding right now, waiting for this.
Literally.
9, 8,
here it goes.
Dust cloud. We did see
that looked terrific from the north end, guys. Nothing out this way.
We are coming
there's a huge
dust. The command post, That's a great bit of news, Jim. This is Mark. Going ahead, Occidental. It looks great. It really pulled hard off Occidental.
The dust cloud is moving this way. Slowly, though.
And it is, the dust cloud has completely engulfed the Alaskan Way Viaduct, is moving towards the waterfront, and it is coming towards us as well. But
some of the people are running from, who are under the viaduct, seem to be running away to escape the dust cloud. It's moving slowly in this direction, but it hasn't completely covered the stadium exhibition hall. Did you notice how the explosion rippled across the ribs?
Yes.
Of the dome, and then it was just gone. And I can tell you, the stadium shook. It was, I was leaning against the pole
absolutely.
Here, and it was rocking back and forth, and you could feel the percussive effect in your midsection.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely, you felt it to your very center of your body as it exploded out.
That was 20 years ago today on Cairo Radio. Dave Ross and I covering the Kingdom implosion. Can't believe it's been 20 years. Huge part of my dream making going down that day, but I've had a lot of good dreams at the replacement places too. All right. Big Lead 2 coming up next.